Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
There we go. Welcome everybody to Saints and Sinners. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at Catholic In His Sign Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. We certainly appreciate all that you do for us in that regard. We cannot do it without you. In addition to doing the radio shows, I'm the executive director of Our House Ministries, founded by Father McKay, and I serve on the board of the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and Christians that are in 12-step programs. If I can ever help in any of those matters and in any way, feel free to reach out to me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's Ken at inhissign.com. I want to apologize for last week's show. There was a high-pitched noise that was coming through for most of the show since I had Peter DePalma on and something up with the phone lines. So they're going to be hope to have that resolved in the next couple of days. So as a result, won't be taking any phone calls today because it will affect the sound quality. If you were interested in last week's show, I was able to strip out that sound when I did the MP3 version of the show and uploaded it to our website. And you can listen to that show and most other shows on our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, they are there. All of them have been uploaded as of yesterday's show. And hope to upload this show tonight. But as a result of the issues with the phones, we're just going to do one live hour today from 4 to 5. And 5 o'clock, Maureen has arranged for a replay. And hopefully when we get back next week, we'll be in the groove again. Reminder that you can subscribe to my Substack account. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. Subscriptions are free. I post highlights of the shows each week along with links to the recordings and try to put a couple other messages out there from time to time. So you can feel free to subscribe there. We also do Facebook Live. Patrick just came in and adjusted the camera. And if you ever want to get a look at me, see what I actually look like, if you go to Facebook and then the In His Sign Catholic Radio page, you can watch the broadcast live there. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is open Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It opens with daily mass at 8:30 in the morning, and we usually close up around 3 o'clock. We'll have pray a rosary there at 3 o'clock on Thursdays. And last week we started to live stream that rosary as well. It's available on the Matt Talbot Shrine Facebook page. The Matt Talbot film continues to get some exposure. We've been asked if it could be used in Australia for a film festival, part of an assembly of films that they put together and allow parishes to show throughout Australia. They had almost 300 people in Belfast over in Ireland on Monday night to see it. And we just booked another screening here locally at the Oaks Center Cinema in Oaks, Pennsylvania, up there off of 422. This time it's going to be a little different. In the past, we've done it with free tickets. And this go-around, we are charging $10. And you can actually get your tickets on Fandango's website. So either Fandango's website or the Fandango app. That's going to be screened on March the 19th. If you go to Fandango and do a search on Matt Talbot, I just did it before we went live here, it'll pop right up. The show will be, again, that's March 19th, St. Joseph's Feast Day at 7:30 p.m. A couple of retreats you might be interested in. Unfortunately, both are for men only. The Matt Talbot 57 group will be out at Malvern April 24th to the 26th. And my friend Michael Murphy, who's also in the Matt Talbot film, will be in town from Ireland. He's bringing along some of Matt Talbot relics, and it should be a great weekend. Also, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Weekend will be August 14th to the 16th. Father John Large will be the retreat director for that weekend. You can register for both at on the Malvern website at malvernretreat.com. That's malvernretreat.com. So let's go ahead and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you and for all those who do not have recourse to you, especially Freemasons, the enemies of Holy Church, and all those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, Venerable Matt Talbot, and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us, and all the saints and angels, pray for us. One thing before we get going here, this coming up on this Saturday, February the 28th, is the annual Man Up Philly Conference, again this year being held out at Cardinal O'Hara High School. This year, Father McKay will be the one of the speakers. I believe he's going to be on in the afternoon right before Holy Mass. So fans of Father McKay want to go ahead and register for it. It is a paid event. You have to go to manupphilly.com. That's manupphilly.com and purchase your ticket. I don't know that they allow you to purchase them at the door. Well, if you do go or are planning on going, Our House Ministries will have a table there. Father McKay's books will be available, some Matt Talbot items, and we'd invite you to stop by. Our engineer today, Patrick Kennedy, will be on hand, along with Chuck Kilgariff, also on the board of Our House Ministries, and a couple other folks who have agreed to help us out. So hope to see you there. Unfortunately, I will not be there. I wanted to be, but I had made arrangements a couple of months ago to head down to Florida for a couple of days to visit my father. And unfortunately, the timing was such that I need to be there to take care of a couple of things and could not reschedule. So I won't be at Man Up, and we'll be thinking about all of you. Hopefully, we're done with blizzards for the winter of 2025, eh? But I'll be thinking about you while I'm sitting by the pool. I don't know if I'm going to get to the beach. I may, but we'll definitely be sitting by the pool. All right, we're not going to have an Honor God segment at the break again because of some issues with the phone lines, and hopefully everything will be back to normal next week. But I thought, before we go there, I'm going to talk about Step 12 today. It'll wrap up a series that I've been doing over a few months on the 12 steps in the 12-step program. But one of the things I did want to mention, we've been doing the Miraculous Medal Prayer of St. Maximilian Kolbe ever since Father McKay and I started doing this show some 13 years ago, I think it is now. And every year before the new year, we get a little pamphlet from the Knights of Immaculata, or the Militia of the Immaculata. And that organization was started by St. Maximilian Kolbe, probably back in the 1920s. I don't know the exact year that it was founded. And when Maximilian Kolbe was studying for the priesthood in the seminary, he actually studied in Rome. He's of Polish descent, and of course would found Nipokalanów in Poland. But He would study in Rome, and while he was studying, he saw the Freemasons parading through Rome, declaring that their primary goal was to destroy the Catholic Church. And folks, that hasn't changed. Over the years, Freemasonry has, you know, continues to you know, battle against the church, and a lot of times we don't see that battle at the lower levels. I've had at least one friend who unknowingly joined the Freemasons, and it was interesting in his story that when he hit the jackpot with alcohol and came into recovery and got back to the faith, somehow or other it actually came up in the confessional that he was a Mason, and the priest refused him absolution until he resigned. And as Catholics, it you know, becoming a Freemason is a cause for excommunication. And a lot of times the people at the lower levels, when you first get in, and are not always aware of the goals of those in the upper echelons, that those at the, you know, the 33rd degree, which I think is the highest degree, that their goal is to destroy the church, has been ever since they were founded, you know, a few hundred years ago, and that hasn't changed. There's some interesting videos out on YouTube of former Masons who talk about what goes on again at those upper levels. And it was interesting to me because when we got the pamphlet this year for the prayers for 2026, in the past it didn't explicitly mention Freemasons, but when it came out this year, it did. Before, it would just have, and for all those who do not have recourse to you, especially the enemies of Holy Church and all those recommended to you. And now this year it has all those who do not have recourse to you, especially Freemasons, comma, the enemies of Holy Church and all of those recommended to you. And folks, we are in a spiritual battle. There's a battle going on for not only your soul with Satan, but at the world level. You know, we read in Scripture about the battles between principalities, and Freemasonry is one of those principalities. So I'm not going to spend the whole hour talking about it. There's a lot more people that are more knowledgeable about it than I am. A simple search on the internet will give you plenty of resources if you want to go and read about it. But I just mentioned it because I found it interesting that when I got the 2016 prayer list or prayers for the Militia of Immaculata, they now specifically call out the Freemasons. So I mentioned a few seconds ago, maybe a couple of minutes ago, since Father McKay was no longer with me on these Wednesday afternoons, when I didn't have a specific topic or a guest, I've been talking about the steps in the 12-step program. Last week was like a two-hour extended version on the 11th step, where we were praying only for the knowledge of His will for praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And I want to wrap up that series today in talking about the 12th step. In the shows where I've talked about the steps, I often make mention that it's an interesting parallel between the 12-step program and the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius and basically our Catholic faith. And some of the steps in the 12-step program enhance our Catholic faith, and I think our Catholic faith enhances some of the steps. And it varies, you know, step by step on who helped, you know, on which helps the other. And just a quick review: in the first step, we admit that we have a problem and that our lives are becoming unmanageable. And for those that struggle with addiction, it can be alcohol, drugs, pornography, sex, gambling, Overeaters Anonymous for those that struggle with eating, and a host of others. Nicotine now, I believe, debtors is out there. And but you don't necessarily have to have an addiction. Anybody can do these 12 steps, either formally or informally. But basically, we admit we have a problem and that we need God. In the second step, we come to believe that God's the one that's going to restore us to sanity. So that means that at some point we need to come to grips with the fact that at certain times of our life we have become insane. We do things that we know are going to harm us or harm others and yet continue to do them. In step three, we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God. Hopefully, as a Catholic, a Christian, you've already done that. If you haven't, there's a third step prayer that's out there. And again, you don't necessarily have to have a specific addiction in order to use that prayer. We then went through steps four through nine, which are basically a cleaning house, if you will, cleaning all the wreckage of the past, cleaning out our souls. In step four, we made a detailed inventory of things that we've done in the past, of fears that we've had, resentments that we've had. And in step five, we reviewed that list with somebody that's kind of knowledgeable about what you're doing. And the point of that is to help point out things that you may have missed, or when you initially do it, you're trying to find the root cause of the behaviors, and doing it with somebody else, especially a priest that's knowledgeable. They can help you get down to the nitty-gritty and maybe find the root cause of some of those behaviors. In steps six and seven, we got ready to ask God to remove those defects that we have, and in step seven we actually ask them again. There's another prayer involved, you can look it up. Steps eight and nine, these are steps that I think really enhance the sacrament of confession. In step eight, we made a list of all the people we had hurt and made agreed to make amends to them all. And so a lot of times when we're in confession and bear our souls to the priest and ask for the Lord's forgiveness, we're often given a penance. And a lot of times it's going to be in the form of prayer or maybe another activity, but doesn't normally, at least in my own experience, include having to go back and make amends to the people that we've hurt. And in step nine, that's where we actually go out and we have to go back to the people that we've hurt and make amends for what we've done. So, again, not only do we get forgiveness from God, we may get forgiveness from the other person. That's not why we're doing this. We're going to clean up our side of the street and admit to the people, you know, that we've that we know that we've harmed them and that we're sorry for doing it. And their forgiveness is not always guaranteed. And sometimes it's just the opposite. The person that we thought that we've hurt, and maybe we thought we really hurt them, really either may not remember it or don't remember it hurting them as much as we thought it hurt them. So we're never really know. But again, the whole idea of this cleaning out the soul, cleaning up the past, is so that we can go anywhere and everywhere and never have to worry about running into people that we've hurt in the past. We don't have to worry about having to cross over to the other side of the street because we've hurt folks and need to avoid them. And that in itself is just a great gift, and one that I didn't bargain for when I first started working a 12-step program. So once we clean house, we want to try and set it up so that we don't have to go back and clean house again. And in order to do that, we do what's called a 10th step, where on a daily basis we do an inventory and review our day. It's very similar to the examine prayer. As a matter of fact, when I talked about step 10 a few weeks ago, I talked more about the examine prayer and how it's done, and but incorporating that into our daily lives. And it helps us to find certain behaviors that may be starting to crop up, and we can cut them off before they cause a larger problem. It's also an opportunity to go out and make amends to folks that we've hurt, and do it right away. When we're doing the ninth step, we could be going back to folks that we haven't talked to in years or decades, in order to make those amends, in the tense that we want to go back and make them as soon as possible, so that we avoid any buildup of more junk in our souls that prevent us from really developing a really close relationship with God. Like I said last week, we spent a couple hours talking about the gift of the divine will, and I incorporated the 11th step in there with ways to pray, including praying rounds. And Peter and I talked about that at length last week in the 5 o'clock hour, I believe. So you may want to go back and re-listen to that show if you missed it, or you had to turn it off because you couldn't take that high-pitched sound that unfortunately we had last week. And then all that culminates in this 12th step. And the 12th step reads, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And again, that's specific to Alcoholics Anonymous and their wording in the 12th step. In NA, Narcotics Anonymous, it probably refers to addicts. The other 12-step programs, it would specifically mention the type of addiction in there. For us, and when we talk about it, one of the things you'll heard frequently said is that we have to give it away in order to keep it. We have to give away our recovery, our 12-step experience, in order to hold on to what we've experienced. And by that, we mean that when we share it with other people, it's always a reminder to us of where we came from and where we are today. And some people use a phrase like it keeps it green. And it's in giving it away that that we're actually able to keep it. And, for a lot of us, when we experience this great gift of not only not having to participate actively in the addiction, but have received this gift from God, this gift of faith, then we want to, oftentimes we want to share it with other people. It's just natural, it's like anything else. If you find a secret way to, and not even that has to be secret, if you find a way to experience something good in life, a lot of times we're going to share it. You find a way to get a free meal somewhere, or you find a good restaurant, or you find a way to save money on something in particular. You share it with anybody and everybody that'll listen, right? And so the same thing a lot of times happens in recovery. You discover this pearl of great price, and rather than hiding it, you want to share it with other people. People that are early in recovery are warned about how far to go with this step. A lot of times, when you discover something new and you're all excited about it and you want to go out and share it, you need to be a little bit wary of doing it too soon. And what happens, sometimes in that is you're not always prepared to share it accurately. And not only that, but in your anxiousness to share it with other people or your desire to share it with other people, it's fine. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people that'll relapse, for lack of a better word. They may end up going back to the addiction because they're not quite far enough along in their program. Or something happens and they end up relapsing. And then if you've already gone around and shouting from the rooftops that you found recovery, people and telling people how you found it, others may then find out that you relapse and may question whether or not the 12-step program actually works. And it's not a whole lot different from our Catholic faith. If you're somebody that, you find Jesus and, you go out and get a bullhorn and stand on the corner and, start proclaiming the gospel and sharing with folks that, they need to find Jesus and what have you. And then they read about you in the paper later on that you've done some heinous act people can turn around and say, yeah, that Catholic thing really works well. Look what it did to Joe. Or it didn't work for Joe. And then they can question whether or not it actually works for them. But I think in our run-of-the-mill conversations that we have with other people, when we find faith, when we find the gift of faith, it really is something that we like to share with other people, because it, you know, if we find that it works for us, then we know that it can work for other people. And I've shared that often in my own life when I've attempted to share things with other people and open with other people about, you know, what God has done in my life. Oftentimes, though, I'll get an odd look, like, you know, aren't you supposed to be anonymous, or are you really supposed to be talking about this stuff? And oftentimes, I mean, I'm far enough along, I'm not wary about ever having to take another drink again. That there are no guarantees. I know that. I know people that have been away from the drink or drug a lot, you know, longer than I have been, and have unfortunately relapsed. I don't see a relapse in my future, but like I said, there are no guarantees. So I know I talk about it here on the radio, and I'm pretty open about it. There are folks that may question my doing that, and that's okay. But you know, our goal here at the Radio Apostolate, my own goal in life, is to save souls. And I can't save the souls of people that need recovery if I can't share about my own recovery. And so, you know, this isn't an endorsement of any particular program, any a particular 12-step program, and I would never expect to get their endorsement. But by sharing, you know, my own experience in life and where going my own way led me, and then being able to share what God has done for me, whether it's through the 12-step program, my Catholic faith, or both, that hopefully I have an opportunity to help people that out there that are going through the same things that I went through. And we don't have to go through the exact same things. It's whatever it is that we've done that has knocked us down, dragged us out, and took God out of our life. No matter what it is, no matter when it's happened, there's always hope. I tell people all the time, as long as you have a breath, there's a hope. If you have a loved one, a spouse, a child, grandchild, niece or nephew, parent, grandparent that is struggling with addiction and similar problems, as long as they are breathing, there's hope that they can get it. And you know, we don't merit it. I didn't do anything to earn what God has given me in life. I was given the grace, and because at some point in my life I decided to accept that grace, and then even in the beginning I probably didn't decide anything. I just showed up out of lack of anything else to do that would help me. But eventually I did make a decision that I was going to look for God's grace, that I would do the things that we can do as human beings to get that grace. And the primary way we do it as Catholics is through the sacraments. By definition, a sacrament is something instituted by God that gives grace. And the two primary ways I can do it on a very regular basis is with the sacrament of Holy Communion, which we can do daily, even twice a day since Vatican II. The Jubilee year is over, and it was actually encouraged. You could get a second indulgence, plenary indulgence daily during that Jubilee year last year. And then the other way, of course, is through the sacrament of penance. And as frequently as you can get there, hopefully at least once a month. I try to get there no more than every 2 weeks, and sometimes weekly. And there's plenty of opportunities here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. One of the best places for me is the Miraculous Metal Shrine over there in Germantown. They have confession every day before the noon mass, 11:30 Tuesday through Saturday, and an hour before on Mondays, along with the hour before the 9 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. masses on Mondays. So The other shrines, St. Rita, St. John Newman, all offer confessions daily. And really no excuse to not get there. So we've reached the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk more about the 12th step and especially about evangelization. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Join us today.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your financial and prayerful support that allows me to be here on Wednesdays and our other hosts Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on WTMR. Before we get back to the 12th step, just a reminder that we have a few different Calyx units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. The Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics and Christians that are in 12-step programs. We get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We begin with adoration at 6 o'clock, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church. For that Tuesday, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7 p.m., where we usually have at least a couple of priests available to hear confessions, and then we have Mass at 7 o'clock. The next third Tuesday will be actually going to be St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They just met this past Saturday, so we'll get together again on March the 21st. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the fourth Saturday of the month, beginning with a 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet this coming Saturday, the 28th. So for the guys that are in recovery, maybe head out to Man Up Philly for the day and then cap the day off by going to the Calyx meeting out there at St. Francis of Assisi. Should also mention that there's daily meetings online for Calyx, at least one meeting a day, sometimes two, And if you ever have any questions about the Calyx Society or the meetings, you can reach out to me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's Ken at inhissign.com. So the first segment today talked about a couple of different things, but before we went to the break, we're talking about the 12th step in the 12th step program. And again, that reads, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So again, for those of you that might be considered normal, you don't need a 12-step program, we're still called to evangelize. And there's all kinds of various ways to do that. I often think about St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel often and sometimes use words. And so a lot of times people will get the idea or maybe think that we're Catholic or Christian just by the things that we do. I remember being in grade school back in Holy Martyrs in Orland in the 70s. And, of course, we always went to Mass on First Friday. And it seems like almost every First Friday we would sing that song, They'll Know We Are Christians By Our Love. It was, a relatively easy song to teach little kids. And it was true. I hearken back to that as an adult now. And, people, you can talk all you want and get a bullhorn out and stand on a corner and, proclaim, Christ crucified from the high heavens. But if your actions don't follow what you're preaching, then, people are going to be able to pick it out real quick. We live in a time today where we talk about fraud and scams an awful lot. I was just before I came on the radio, I get at least one, sometimes two calls a day now from folks using a different phone number each time they call, telling me that my loan's been approved. Give them a call back, and they're going to be more than happy to put $53,000 in my account. And it's a scam. It's a fraud, and you come to know that. And a lot of us, over the course of our lives, we come to know people that are frauds, right? That they say one thing and do another. Whether it's as a friend or a parent, we really need to make sure that our actions follow up what it is that that we say and that we proclaim. And so I think it really pertains to our faith, because we can do more harm than good if we preach one thing and do another. I often think of a line Father McKay had to use one time. Somebody confronted him and told him that he ought to practice what he preaches, and he turned around and said, "You better be glad I don't preach what I practice." And so from that is some truth, right? That we need to meet people where they are. And all of us can be on various places on the spiritual journey, some more advanced than others. And I know that when I'm talking to folks, that I try to meet them where they are. They don't always have the upbringing that I had, the education that I've had when it comes to the faith. They don't have the experiences that I've had. And so to try to be able to meet them where they are. Because if you don't, if you try to go too fast, too quick, it's like clubbing them over the head with it. And they may not be able to understand it or think that they'll never be able to get where we are. And for me, it's always about letting folks know that I haven't not always been where I am today. You go back and you can ask my siblings and friends from my past, and they'll let you know pretty clearly what I used to be like. And it wasn't something that happened overnight, and I'm still evolving. I'm still growing and learning. And I hope to do so until the, you know, they throw that first shovel full of dirt on me. But, you know, so each of us progresses in, at a different speed and in different ways. Sometimes we'll make huge leaps, and other times we may slip back into and not following up or living up to some of the things that that we've learned. And so really, really important to meet people where they are. One of the things that I know we're going to see, and I've mentioned to some folks, you know, when I first came around and came back to the faith, I thank God that I had 12 years of Catholic schooling. And, you know, it may not have been perfect. The folks that were teaching the faith, most of them weren't theologians. They had their own appreciation for the faith. And so people that are coming up today, you know, so many people, you only have to look at the number of people that are being baptized to see that it's dramatically lower than it was today. And then, so not only are they not baptizing their kids, but then they're not bringing them up in the faith. You know, the New Age thing, or the thing today where, you know, I'm not going to force my religion on my kids. I'll wait until they're old enough to figure it out, and then they can decide for themselves. Unfortunately, a lot of them may get in trouble before they ever learn about God or know that a God exists. And I've said, you know, that there's going to come a time where a majority of the people, when they come into a 12-step room and find out that it's only through a relationship with God that they're going to be able to survive, their first question is going to be, well, what's a God? Or who is God? And so I thank God for the foundation that I had and that my parents gave me coming up. And so I think it's going to be increasingly important for, you know, Catholics and Christians to be not only knowledgeable of their faith, but knowledgeable of ways in order to pass that on to other people. And a lot of times it's just through conversation and, you know, telling people, you know, where we're at and how we got there. And there was a book, and I interviewed the author. It's probably a year ago now. And I followed up with him after the call because I thought the book was critical. The name of the book was Sacred Conversations. And my friend Bill Wynn, who was on, and we did a few shows talking about Rene Girard and mimetic theory, and you know, how we try to copy, how we try to copy others, and it's the way God designed us, right, to copy others. So we copy our parents or our siblings when we're babies. So that's how we learn how to walk and talk and do the things that that we need to do in life. But Bill Wynn would all. Brought to me the concept of Holy Communions, and I've actually given some talks on retreat and in parishes when asked on Holy Communions and how important they are. And so we hear Holy Communion, and immediately we think about going to Mass and receiving our Lord in the sacrament of Holy Communion. But there are other Holy Communions, and those are the relationships or the conversations that we have with other people. And the more of those types of Holy Communions that we have in our life, I think the better the life that we'll have. In my life today, I think about the people that I associate with on a regular basis. And almost all of them are Catholic, and most of them either daily communicants or going to Mass more than once a day. And that's not because I won't allow anybody else into my circle. It's just the circles that I travel in. Those are the types of people that I encounter most often. And then when new people come into that circle, I and the friends that I hang out with are always more than happy to share our faith with them. And sometimes I think that we're afraid to share our faith. And our Catholic Church, to some degree, they talk an awful lot about evangelization. But they don't always give us the tools that we need to do it. And I'm not talking about programs that we run in parishes or that the diocese puts on, but how to share our faith on a one-to-one basis. One of the other things that I've often thought would be pretty neat is, and you wouldn't have to do it every Sunday in our parishes, but I remember the home group I went to years ago in the 12-step program, and there were a number of people who had joined a particular Protestant church in the neighborhood, and a few of them were lapsed Catholics, and you know, they got sucked in by what was going on at that particular church. They would talk about how they were greeted, and the warm and fuzzy feeling that they got when they went there, and this and that. But one of the things that really made a difference for them is that they were asked to get up on a Sunday at their service and give a witness talk. And, and I think I look at our Catholic churches, and I'll only speak from my own experience. For years, we went to the 11:30 Mass at St. Luke's every Sunday. We sat in the same pew, or the same area. It was usually the fifth or sixth pew back over on the far left section. And we had the same people that sat around us at that Mass for literally years, and we never knew their name. We never knew their story. When the kids got a little bit older and we could get up earlier on Sundays, we moved from the 11:30 Mass to the 9:30 Mass. And again, sat around the same people. My wife knew quite a few of them, especially the ones that had their kids in St. Luke's school, because she worked there. But, again, I didn't know a lot of those people. And we all have stories to tell. No two people have the exact same journey in their faith. And I've often thought how cool it would be to have that, especially like if you have a parish where there's a half hour between Masses, and you even do it between Masses, maybe, give folks that want to get out a chance to get out. You have somebody give a witness talk for 10 or 15 minutes, and then they're done and before the next Mass starts. But it's something that I've always thought about, and I think it would make a difference. And so until you have an opportunity to get up and tell your story in front of a couple hundred people, just doing it when the opportunity presents itself in one-on-one situations, and especially when people ask. It's interesting to me that sometimes people ask you how you got through certain things, or why you are the way you are, or why do you, one of the common ones, why do you smile all the time? All you got to do is look around this world of ours and see how crazy it is and how downtrodden so many people are. And if you can manage to put a smile on your face, people are going to think there's something wrong with you, especially if you're smiling all the time. But we should be smiling all the time, because we have a God that loves us unconditionally, that has unlimited amounts of forgiveness and mercy for us, there for the taking, if we just ask for it. And being able to share that with other people, and being able to share why you are the way you are, or why you do the things that you do, is such a gift, especially when people ask. So it not only applies in a 12-step program where you've been given a gift of sobriety or clean time or whatever it is, whatever gift you were looking for and got. It applies to everybody. If you run into people that are struggling, don't be afraid to tell them that maybe you had a similar struggle or the exact same struggle, and that you got through it with the help of God. They may look at you like you're crazy, and that's okay. But they may come back around again and say, hey, you know what? You mentioned that you got through this scenario that I'm going through, and you mentioned that God helped you get through it. Can you tell me how God helped you? And I've had so many odd or God situations that have cropped up in just those ways. And we've got about 8 or 9 minutes here. I'll share a couple of things. Those of you that have been listening for years may recall that my wife passed away suddenly. It'll be a year ago next month. And I'm really blessed with the people that I've had in my life, and the number of priests, and the ability to go on retreats and learn it. And sometimes I've really not felt bad, but for whatever reason, I was gifted with such grace that I know where Susan is right now at this moment. You know, I have no doubt that she's experiencing the beatific vision with God, and that she probably has been for a long time, if for no other reason than putting up with me for 36 years. And I mentioned 36 because today would have actually been our 37th anniversary. And I had a last July, and I don't know if I've mentioned this on the air or not, but I'll mention it today. Last July, it wasn't a dark place. It was just a confusing place. And I was had an opportunity to go to confession again down the Miraculous Metal Shrine with a priest that I had never met or seen before. And I happened to go to confession and was talking to him about how I was all twisted up, that I wasn't able to pray, that I had all sorts of distractions. I couldn't get through a mass without getting distracted. And a lot of it was because of where I was in my own head, that, you know, there were probably things that I could have done for Sue that I hadn't done, that our life could have been a little bit different had I done some things differently and what have you, and basically beating myself up. And when it came time for Father to give me some words of wisdom, he gave me a line that completely changed my outlook. And he said to me, he looked at me right in the eye, and he said, "Ken, you know, you probably had wisdom chapter 3 at the funeral," which we did. And in wisdom chapter 3, it says that the souls of the righteous are with God and they are at peace. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, she's at perfect peace and you're the one twisted up. Get over yourself." And man, it hit me right between the eyes. I left that confessional and I went out and did the offer the prayers that I was told to offer as penance. And I stayed for Mass. And after Mass, I sat in the pew for a while and just thinking about everything in my life, and especially the few months up until that point. And I ended up leaving the shrine and going home, and I took my wedding band off for the first time in 36 years. And the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. And that's a gift of our Catholic faith. You know, we don't, I have no doubt, like I said, that Sue is with God today, and that she's interceding on my behalf, on behalf of my children, on behalf of the organizations that I'm a part of, and maybe some that she had gotten frustrated with at some point because she thought it was pulling me away from my family. And I know today that you know, she's one of the best benefactors that I have because she is with God. And I can't imagine what it would be like to go through what I went through and not have faith. And I say that because I'll relate two more stories. On the day that she passed, two things happened. I had people back at the house. It's no different than anybody else when someone passes. Everybody wants to drop by and let you know that they're thinking about it, thinking about you, and they'll bring food and what have you. And one person came in and was really angry with God for taking Sue. And could not believe that I wasn't angry. And it got a little bit loud, and there was a whole bunch of people in the house at that time. And again, they could not believe that I wasn't angry. And then they looked at me and said, "Are you not angry because you have faith?" And it was like, bingo, yeah, that's it. I don't know why, you know, God does a lot of the things that he does when he does them. And, you know, we may get the answers when we meet him face to face. But I know because of my faith that whatever God allows to happen, he's going to bring something good out of it. And so I said, yeah, I have faith. And the person said, well, I don't have it. And I asked them, did you ever ask for it? You know, faith is a gift, and we need to ask God for it. And if God's not giving it to us, then we need to plead with them for it. And it was interesting because a number of people were around and heard this conversation. And I could tell by some of the smiles and then comments I got later that they understood where I was coming from. You know, the other one was a good friend of mine and a good friend of my wife's. When he came through the door, when we never know the right things to say. I remember I was so blessed the day that Sue passed that my four kids were there, and I didn't have to make decisions on my own. And I told them when we left the hospital that people would probably be coming by the house, and that we shouldn't have any expectations, because people are, you know, somebody's going to say the wrong thing, and they're not doing it intentionally, and people are going to do the wrong thing. You know, they're going to, you know, start going through your cabinets and trying to help serve food and that kind of stuff. And that's okay. Just no expectations. And I've used this lesson with so many people. If we have no expectations, we'll never be disappointed, right? And so, sure enough, a good friend walks in the door and looks at me and starts crying. And he's hugging me and he's looking at me. And I just whispered in his ear. I said, there are no words. Don't worry about the words. And I said something to him, and it wasn't of me. I whispered in his ear, you know, God knew 10,000 years ago that today was the day. And he just kind of looked at me, and the embrace ended, and, you know, he stuck around for a little while. We may have talked after that, or I don't know. But around 1 o'clock in the morning, I get a text message from him. And he says, can you explain to me how you knew 10,000 years ago that today, that God knew today was the day? And it was just, it was just a faith. You know, I talk at least once a month about the gift of the divine will, and a lot of that is realizing that with God there is no time. Everything that's happened, whether it was, and who knows how long the planet's been here, right? I just saw something the other day where they're saying they found some writing from 6 million years ago. Whenever it happened, whenever God created the world, until he decides that it's time for this world to pass and we're going to go to the New Jerusalem. For God, that's all in the same moment. It's all in one moment. And so God knew way before today the events that were going to happen today. And I truly believe that. And that doesn't mean that nothing bad's going to happen. It just means that when bad things do happen, usually because humans take their own free will and cause them, that it's an opportunity for God to bring something greater out of it. When a young child dies, when you know, somebody gets a terminal illness, when you're in a car wreck and what have you, God always seems to bring good from bad. And you need faith in order to see that. The gift of faith in order to see. That's one of the great gifts of faith, is being able to take a look back and see where God was and everything that has happened in our life. A lot of people blame God for the things that have happened in their past, and the good news is that he's allowed them to happen in order to bring about a greater good. So that's it for today. Because of the technical issues, we're going to go ahead and put a replay on in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm not sure what it's going to be. Maureen took care of that, as she always does, and always manages to find great shows to put on for the replay. And I will be back live again next Wednesday. And God willing, we'll get some live guests in the 5 o'clock hour. So again, I thank you for whatever time you were able to spend with us this hour, and I look forward to being with you again next